हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopis said, "Because you are a liar, we do not believe your promise." Krishna then answered, biting his tongue, "I have never told any lies. From birth till now, I have not had any occasion to lie. What is the proof? These young boys are the witnesses. They are reliable as witnesses because they naturally report whatever they see." The gopis said, "From far off, please throw the clothes to us in the water, or have the young boys bring them here." Krishna said, How am I to know which is your clothing and which is someone else's? How can I give them to you if I don't know? As I am very religious, I don't touch others' things even with my fingernail. You must come here and, recognizing your own clothes, take them. I do not take, give, or touch others' things. That is my rule." you understand? So this is the importance of religious principles, because then they can be used in Krishna's pastimes for taste. Either the following of the rules themselves, as we see in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, it's just that you're following the rules, so even though there's a situation that it will be difficult by following the rules, then that difficulty then is a glory. Or we see here with Krishna then where they're using it as a medium for their joking interaction. So the whole point is it's still, you have to have some structure with which to use. You can't use nothing, right? You can't cook lunch with nothing. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's a Buddhist lunch.
Yes, it's a Buddhist lunch. And unfortunately, they're not actually very satisfied. Yes. The gopis said, right, because he's taking, you know, all these different sides. Whichever one they take, he'll take the opposite, whatever he takes, and they'll do like that. The gopis said, "Because you are so impudent, you can disgrace us. Out of this fear, being respectable women, we will not go near you." "Because you are so impudent, you can disgrace us. Out of this fear," means that if they go near him, they may disgrace them. "So being respectable women, we will not go near you." Krishna said, One of the young gopis among you can come forward. If she is not disgraced and returns to you, then others can come one by one. Or all can come together. Because if you're all together, it would be impossible to disgrace you. The head is called the topmost part of the body. It is very beautiful. Please show me your heads. If you can show your heads, then you should not be embarrassed to show me your other beautiful limbs, including your beautiful waist. Right? So he's saying is that of all the parts of the body, then the head is the most beautiful, most attractive. So if you can show Krishna the head, why can't you show other parts of the body? What's the big deal? Right? So he's just using his cleverness. Seeing Krishna's secret joking, the gopis became overcome with joy. "To make Krishna happy, I think we should not be so self-conscious." Thinking like that, they all began to discuss among themselves in bliss. Glancing, because this is what they want, but at the same time as being girls, then they'll always be contrary to that, elusive to that, and shy about that. So it's just how it works. And then Krishna can be be bold, so that's the masculine aspect, but it's all in consideration of the gopis and is something that is pleasant in support of them. Right? So he's talking about their position, or he's talking about his in relationship to being religious, and that, in a sense, so it's all light. It's not like, you know, trying to get down to the reality of getting something done. It's about relationship. That's what's getting done, is relationship. Material world, we think, no, if we accomplish something by transformation of the external energy, then we've accomplished something. But actually, that transformation, if it does not produce interaction and relationships, what's the point? You know, be like, if I put the pots on the fire and put the pan, you know, that, and now and again, you know, flip the pan and put a lid on, take it off, and, you know, like that, am I accomplishing anything? Right? Or, instead, we take it further. If we actually cook things, but then no one's going to eat it. Right? What's the point? After I finish cooking, then I throw it out. Oh, I just wanted to cook. Right? You understand? So that's the whole point, is that all these qualities of interaction, of emotions, of, you know, techniques, and that, they're just for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. That's all. They don't have another purpose. So they're just for interacting in relationship. That's what has to be understood. That's the most important thing. Glancing at one another, they became embarrassed. Then one said to another, "O lotus-eyed one, he is calling you." The other answered, "O beautiful-faced one, you go and let him drink the nectar." In this way they joked among themselves, but stood in the water and did not move. So first is they're arguing, then they're agreeing, but now shyness. So before it was contrariness came up, right? And that now embarrassment's coming up. Right? Does that make sense? So it's always going to have one of these three main themes. As Sri Govinda spoke to the gopis in this way, his joking words completely captivated their minds. Submerged up to their necks in the cold water, they began to shiver. Thus they addressed him as follows. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Krishna said, "O dark-eyed girls, if you don't come here, I will tie all these clothes to a branch of the tree and make a hammock and pillow, and I will lie down in it and go to sleep." Hearing this, the gopis said, "O Gopal," right? Yeah. So it's not about what's being said there, it's about the interaction. So you're going up on what's happening then. Because before he says, you know, he just saw them there, you know, and he came, and then this, then he says, you know, he'll give them to them, and then they says, "Oh, so you just throw them to, well, I don't touch anyone's stuff." You know, and so it's all just all these things, and they're taken in that kind of mood of that youthful exuberance. So now Hearing this, the gopis said, "O Gopala, your cows, greedy for grass, have gone into a mountain cave. You must go quickly to bring them back." Right? So now they're trying to distract. Right? So they're being elusive. In other words, they're telling them, "Go away and we'll get them ourselves." Right? Krishna said, "O cowherd girls, you should quickly leave here and go to Braja to do your household duties. You should not make your parents and elders suffer." Right? So now you're throwing in another thing on time. Otherwise, he can sit in the tree, they can sit there. Krishna said, "O austere girls." Oh, no. Gopi said, "For 1 month we will not go to our houses. At the order of our elders, after completing the Katyayani Vrata, we will fast for 1 month." Krishna said, "O austere girls, seeing your austerity, I have become detached from the house also. For 1 month I will take a vow to live here in the air. And if you are merciful to me, I will come down from the tree and do a vrata in the water with you." Hearing these joking words, the gopis, becoming fearful with water up to their necks, began trembling from the cold and also from anxiety, joy, and eagerness. So all this is going on at once.
So this, whatever they experience right now, then it's Sanchari Bhavas.
Sanchari Bhavas, Anubhavas, all these, yes. It means all the way they're arguing or what they're doing, that they don't move or that. Because, yeah, then it creates the other thing. Yes. Yes, they would all be Sanchari. Because you see it all just as part of the nature. While others, they have a nature, and then there's something that expresses it. But what you see, the gopis, these qualities are all inherent in the nature. That's the difference. What for others are anubhavas, and what is their rasa, the stai bhava, and that is already included within their bhava. Right? They become the santaris of them. That's the thing about the rasa, is that you understand the technical things, but then everything's within their rasa. But it has its particular place. Yeah, because otherwise, how do you have anxiety, joy, and eagerness all at once, right? You know, but that's it. It can do that because it includes all the other rasas. The gopis said, "Dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son of Nanda and that you are honored by everyone in Braja. You are also very dear to us. Please give us back your clothes. We are shivering in the cold." So in here, they never take a position of not having that proper relationship or affection. Right? They don't use other things as tricky ways to do things. Right? Just because it can be intellectually done. Right? In the modern scenario, then much of the many times we see in the joking, it will be actually in a negative way rather than just in a clever way. So you see here, the joking is all clever, how it switches from one thing to another. But in the modern, we'll actually use something negative. But try to say something negative and try to make it seem like it's real. But here, it's being said, and it's being said with all conviction, but it's also not being said that it's real. Right? It's not real, but it's being said with conviction as if it is. That's why, like a dramatic actor, you play your line well, but at the same time, it has that slight underlying hemming it up for the crowd. Right? So based on their relationship. Does this make sense? So it's quite different from the mundane, which will have a negative aspect. "Please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold water. O Shyamasundara, we are your maidservants and must do whatever you say. But give us back our clothing. You know that the religious principles are. And if you don't give us our clothes, we will have to tell the king. Please." Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. First they try to pacify him, sama. Then they make offerings, dana. When words fail, they offer gifts by offering themselves in surrender as his service. Right? So that's dana. Then they use the technique of beta, dissension or fear. Right? Like, so that's why then they bring up the point of Kamsa. "You know Dharma. One should fear taking others' belongings and seeing naked women, since it is against Dharma. Seeing you had no fear of these future results, they then instilled present fear. We will tell the king of the cowherds." This is a second type of beta. Right? So first they do the beta of what will be the results of his activities. Right? You're doing this, therefore you get a bad result. Right, so they're shifting off what is his position and what will be the result for that. So then by seeing that, okay, he's keeping the clothes, by doing that it's against religious principles, all this and that, then like that doesn't work, then they use another type, we'll tell the king. So that will be the consequences. So one will be there'll be irreligious consequences, and then when that doesn't work, then they use the, you know, fear from, you know, political or, you know, so these kind of consequences. So we can see is where all these things come from. You know? So for them it's just joking words. For Kshatriyas it's their occupational duties. Right? From verses 12 until this verse, symptoms known as Kila Kischit are displayed. Okay, so this is still Jiva Goswami. Garbab Hilasa Urudita Samita Suya Bhaya Krudham Sanchari Sankari Karanam Harashad Uchyate Kila Kishchitam. When pride, desire, weeping, smiling, envy, fear, and anger manifest together because of joy, these symptoms are called Kila Kishchita. Ujvalani Lamani 11:44. almost got 14-14 out of that. Okay, so this is one of their main ornaments, of the 20 ornaments that the gopis have. You know, so just the different combinations of their different anubhavas and that. So this Kila Kinchit is a very prominent one, where you have, based on their happiness, but you have all these seemingly contradictory flavors. I think it's... Srila Prabhupada Rupa Goswami then gives an example, because you can't really explain these. But he gives the example, it's like if you take some yogurt and then mix it with rock candy, some black pepper, some camphor, like this. Then it gives a very, even though they're all very contradictory flavors, it gives actually a very pleasant taste. Like that. So it's a preparation. I can't remember, there's more. I think all of the, each of the one has some an ingredient, and then that makes up the Kila Kinchit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "If you girls are actually my maidservants, and if you really want to do what I say, then come here with your innocent smiles and let each girl pick out her clothes. If you don't do what I say, I won't give them back to you." Right? So now he's also using, you know, religious principles and results as a beta. So he's then responding in the same way, but with his own. "And even if the king becomes angry, what can he do?" Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, "He becomes victorious when the young gopis agree to be his servants. He uses the respectful word bhavat yaha in order to increase their enthusiasm. He uses the word sva in order to show the necessity that they quickly take their clothes. By alluding to their pure smiles, he hints that they are not really suffering from cold and that their shivering is faked. Or he implies that when you smile nicely, I will give you the clothing, but if you approach with gloomy faces, I will not give the clothing." So like that. So, yes. If you do not do this, I will not give even a scrap of clothing. If I give anything, I will give some torn pieces to some of you. Even if the king of the cowherds is angry, what will he do? Well, he will do nothing, since he has great affection for me, his son. Saying that, he used some of the cloth as a seat, some pieces as a bed, and some pieces as flag. By tying them to the branches, some he made into a swing and began swinging, and some he threw here and there over the tree." Right? Because now they can understand he really doesn't care. You know, it's not like he's fearful at all, because up to now he's done all this and it's not worked, so now they've taken a strong stance, so then he takes his strong stance. But he all, you know, he does it very nonchalantly, so that's the whole. Sukadev Goswami continued, "Then, shivering from the painful cold, all the young girls rose up out of the water, covering their pubic areas with their hands. Then when the Supreme Lord saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, he was satisfied by their pure, loving affection. Putting their clothes on his shoulder, the Lord smiled and spoke to them with affection." Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, "When the gopis saw that Krishna was strong and determined, they had no alternative but to abide by his order." Because before this, by their joking exchange, they could possibly get it to work. Or by then their threatening, maybe that would work, but it didn't, so then they just had to surrender. One after another, they came out of the water. But because they were completely naked, they tried to cover their nakedness by placing their left hand over the pubic area. In that posture, they were all shivering. Their simple presentation was so pure that Lord Krishna immediately became pleased with them. All the unmarried gopis who prayed to Katyayani to have Krishna as a husband were thus satisfied. A woman cannot be naked before any male except her husband. The unmarried gopis desired Krishna as their husband, and he fulfilled their desire in this way. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, "Seeing the devastated state of the gopis, understanding that they had followed his request, giving up all shyness, which was worse than death for those respectable girls, understanding that this arose from the pure, unmotivated prema, he became pleased." Right? So all this was all then simply because of their pure love. And the obstacles they're going through is very great, but they're willing to go through that just for Krishna, just like they're willing to go through the vrata just to please Krishna. He put all their clothing on his shoulder out of greed to smell the fragrance of their limbs. By doing this, he also showed his love for them. With great boldness, he then gave them advice. He thought, they have done something which is difficult for any woman, out of love for me. But there is something even more difficult to do. Will they do that or not? I want to see the amount of love they have for me. Therefore, he spoke with a smile. O gopis, you have accepted with your mouths that you are my servants and that you will follow my words. Now I am going to test your words. If you can come out, I will give you your clothing along with my soul, mind, life, air, and body. Right? So, in other words, their full surrender, he fully surrenders to them. Lord Krishna said, you girls bathe naked while executing your vow, and that is certainly an offense against the demigods. To counteract your sin, you should offer obeisances while placing your joined palms above your heads. Then you should take back your lower garments. Thus, the young girls of Vrindavan, considering that Lord Achyuta had what Achyuta had told them, accepted that they had suffered a fall down from their vow by bathing naked in the river. But they still desired to successfully complete their vow. And since Lord Krishna is himself the ultimate result of all pious activities, they offered their obeisances to him to cleanse away all their sins. Seeing them bow down like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, gave them back all their garments, feeling compassionate towards them and satisfied by their act. Although the gopis had been thoroughly cheated, deprived of their modesty, ridiculed, and made to act just like toy dolls, and although their clothing had been stolen, they did not feel at all inimical towards Sri Krishna. Rather, they were simply joyful to have this opportunity to associate with their beloved. Footnote 5. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 22 to Bhagavad Arkramichi Mala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Okay, so the sweetness that they're tasting here, then this is the Prayojana, right? The one before, then that's the relationship or the position of being in that relationship, that position, that taste, then that is in the relationship. But here is that actually, from interacting, the results of that, then that is so sweet. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. The gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved Krishna, and thus they became captivated by him. Thus, even after putting their clothes on, they did not move. They simply remained where they were, shyly glancing at him. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, nothing can compare with the Krishna consciousness of the gopis. Actually, the gopis did not care for Varuna or any other demigod. They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. Krishna became very ingratiated and satisfied by the simple dealings of the gopis, and he immediately delivered their respective garments one after another. Although Krishna cheated the young unmarried gopis and made them stand naked before him and enjoyed joking words with them, and although he treated them just like dolls and stole their garments, they were still pleased with him and never lodged complaints against him. This attitude of the gopis is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he prays, my dear Lord Krishna, you may embrace me or trample me under your feet, or you may make me brokenhearted by never being present before me. Whatever you like, you can do, because you have complete freedom to act. But in despite of all your dealings, you are my Lord eternally, and I have no other worshipable object. This is the attitude of the gopis towards Krishna. Sri Jiva Goswami writes, by the mutual feelings between them and by the mercy of his consoling words, with shy glances, they did not move, remaining fixed in that place. In front of him, glancing at him shyly, they did not move. They display the anubhav called vikriti. Purit maner shadi bhir yatra no chate sva vikakshitam vyajyate cheshtayai vedam vikritam tad vidhir budhaha. When one does not utter what one wants to say because of shyness, pride, or anger, and hints at this by actions only, it is called vikrita by the wise, or vikritam by the wise. Ujjwala Nilamani, 1158. So something that you're so it's a matter of you do something, but it's indirect. You don't say what you want to say. You use something else. Does that make sense? So that's Vikritam. So here it's a Anubhava. So it would appear that, as we said, is that these things fall in all three categories. So then the Anubhava means, and so because all these different things happen in all three sections, then it's a matter of they can't be separated, right? But they are, right? Like Radha and Krishna are non-different, but they are. So depending upon, so one is dealing with the physical, one is dealing with the temporary mental, and one is dealing with the intended activity, right? Now in all those, the mind, the physical aspects, all these different things are included. But even though it's the same thing in two different places, it gives a different flavor. That's why one is called Anubhava, one is called Sanchari Bhava, one is called Sattvika Bhava. Right? Or if they're just generally saying, they just say Anubhava because it includes all of them. But if they want to bring out something specific, then they'll bring out the particular term. Does that make sense? So that's why sometimes you see they appear to overlap, but there's a slight difference. If it's counted as an Anubhava, it'll have a different flavor than if it's counted as a Sattvika, it'll have a different flavor if it's a Sanchari. Though it may be exactly the same thing. Because most of the time, especially with the gopis, these are all combinations of flavors and how they can come up. Right? So these different, one Sanchari can come up because of the others. Right? So from fear can come anxiety. Does that make sense? Or from fear can come anger. Does that make sense? So that's the one, the one creates the other. They all nourish each other. And so it's just constantly adjusting. Yes?
It seems that the Anubhavas are easier to control because it's a physical manifestation of the internal mood. However, the Sattvika Bhavas and Sanchari Bhavas, it's almost not possible to control because they deal with, you know, it comes from the airs and like...
Yes. Yeah, they just seem to, you know, acute. Anything acute, you can't really deal with. Chronic, then you can work at it. Acute, it just comes up, and then you have to deal, and then it'll adjust. Yes, yes. But that's why you see in the Anubhavas, when it's defined as an Anubhava, you'll see a physical aspect, you'll see a mental aspect there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you'll see an action.
Right.
Like that. While in the others, you're not talking about so much the action or the emotion. You're just talking about the effect that it has physically. Or mentally. Yes. So, like what you said. Yeah. Hopefully by the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know what they're talking about. Yeah. Then it's just the, how you say that, that small little, how you say, transformation from gyan to vigyan. Sukadev Goswami continued, "The Supreme Lord understood the determination of the gopis in executing their strict vow. The Lord also knew that the gopis desired to touch his lotus feet, and thus Lord Damodar spoke to them as follows." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, right? So he's saying this, and then what he says this, but then what goes on to get to that, what are all the small flavors in between, that you see then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is revealing. Right, that's one of the uniquenesses of his explanations. They many times shows that what's the connection or what's the sundi between one thing and another, why that's going to happen. Does that make sense? Just like he says, he finished cooking and then put things on the table. Okay, so yeah, it just goes. But if you want to get into more detail, it means he has to take it out of the pan, put it into the serving thing, put it on the table, situate it in the appropriate way, depending upon how it's going to be applied, or does that make sense? So that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is leaving. So then in here, just those who understand what's happening, just like if someone's a cook and they know how to, you know, take care of serving prasad, then that's all you have to say. You know, after cooking, then arrange it for serving. You don't have to say anything else. Or after cooking, he arranged it for serving. Right? Or if you just say after cooking, he served prasad, then you know he has to arrange it. So then those who know this, then those things work smoothly. Those who don't, it's time for serving and they don't have any spoons. Or they forgot to drink, or there's no cup, or there's nothing to put the things into. You understand? So all these things are there. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is showing this in rasa. We're used to it in the mechanics of operating the material nature. But in relationships in rasa, that we're not used to.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can we say those who are rasik, they can fill up all the details themselves?
Yes.
But then for us, you know, the acharyas, they... Because we've seen some purpose, but Jiva Goswami gives one sentence, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti, he writes like 4 or 5 pages.
Expanding that sentence.
Yeah. Explaining like both giving commentaries on Rupa Goswami's, you know, work.
Yes.
And Jiva Goswami just writes one thing.
Yeah, just so that you know that that's what's going on. But then the detail is, you know. So that's the whole thing, is that they go from the top and then they expand it. So this idea that there'll be any contradiction or anything, it's not possible. It'll never be. So whatever someone says, then that's there, then to make sure that we don't, you know, get distracted, then they give the details. Yes. You know, it's just like what I said. If you say, after cooking, then he served prasad. In that, you could probably have at least a half hour discussion on what that means and what, you know, how that's going to be done, what things, what preparations you put into what kind of pots, and what kind of spoons you would use, and how you would therefore hold the pots, how you would serve the preparation, how much you would serve, where you would put it on the plate, or whether it go in a bowl, and even then, where does that bowl go? In a sense, so you could get, so like you're saying, then that's what's happening. Jiva Goswami is then giving specifics so you know what's going on, and then Vishwanath bringing out the details so that they say. For those of us who, when it comes to thinking about, understanding spiritual topics, then there's not necessarily a, trying to think of which would be the appropriate way to say it. If between one side of our skull and the other, it's just solid, or you might say is that our head needs to go on a diet. Right? However one wants to... put it together, then for us, then the acharyas are very kind in that. And this is the detail they bring out that is considered okay for us. As we said before, there's more, but that wasn't, as for us as practitioners, then it's not useful. So therefore those books then were not revealed to us. Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopis...
Implied,
because he used simple before, so... The gopis simple, but no. The gopis implied by their bashful glances. O king of enjoyers, we have received the results of our vows. Though you caused us extreme difficulty by which our very life heirs left, we agree with what you requested, right? So life heirs left means it was so intense, so all the ecstasy was so great that therefore then they get all these symptoms. Right? We agreed with what you requested. You made us leave the water. You made fun of us and saw our bodies. You put our clothes on your shoulder and wanted to give us only half of them back, right? Because he mentioned first about just giving in the lower clothes. Like that, remember before in the previous one, he just says, you know, come and take your lower garments. He didn't say anything about the upper garments. Like that. and you spoke to us only as much as necessary. As an answer, we gave you a bashful glance only. Maybe we offend you by this, or maybe you are satisfied with this. We do not know. So you, who are knowledgeable of all time and place and person, should speak to us, foolish women, hearing that we will return home. Hearing that we will return home. Okay, means whatever Krishna says. Desiring to answer them, the Supreme Omniscient Lord then spoke in three verses, right? So all of that, then they responded by a bashful glance, and in that glance, all that was said. Right? So then Krishna, the Acharyas, they can understand this. Then we wouldn't. Lord Krishna said, O saintly girls, I understand that your real motive in this austerity has been to worship me. That intent of yours is approved by me, and indeed it must come to pass. The desire of those who fix their minds on me does not lead to material desire or for sense gratification, just as barleycorns burned by the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts. Go now, girls, and return to Braja. Your desire is fulfilled, for in my company you will enjoy the coming nights. After all, this was the purpose of your vow to worship Goddess Katyayani, O pure-hearted ones. Right? So here we notice he points out, O saintly girls and O pure-hearted ones, because there is no material desire here. It's all connected to Krishna. But, does that make sense? So that's the specialness, that he's acknowledging their position like that, and in the coming nights. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Footnote 6. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 24 to 27 to Bhagavad Arkamrita Mala chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa. Rasa Madhuri Ma, because right? The one with the variety is Garima, right? Which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's books. Verses 25 to 26 are also assigned to chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord. Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. So one is that the relationship itself, and two, the taste of the relationship and the taste generated by the relationship. You understand? So there's both aspects, looking at whichever one you're looking at. So, because Krishna said, you have that intent, you did that focused on me, you did that to please me, so then that is the Bhagavat Rasa, tasting the sublime nature of relationships, and then the taste that they've got, they've received what they wanted, and the taste of having gotten that, that's then Rasa Madhurima, right? Sweetness of Rasa. So it has both. So sometimes if you can't figure out something goes in one or the other, there's a good chance it goes in both. Right? But by our box and arrow method, then it has to fit in one or the other, because there's a box and an arrow in between the other box. They can't be in both at once. Right? But it can be. That's beauty. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Lord Krishna was pleased with them, and since they all desired to have them as their husband, he told them, my dear, well-behaved girls, right? Because one would say, this is not well-behaved. But they are well-behaved, because everything they're doing is just to please Krishna. That's actually what proper behavior is for, right? It's not for something else. He was pleased with them, and since they all my dear well-behaved girls, I know of your desire for me and why you worship Goddess Katyayani, and I completely approve of your action. Anyone whose full consciousness is always absorbed in me, even if in lust, is elevated. As a fried seed cannot fructify, so any desire in connection with my loving service cannot produce any fruit or result as in ordinary karma. Right, so that's why hearing the pastimes in the proper attitude. See, in here is that the question will come up, as we'll see, is that we're hearing the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. And so then we have two basic instructions. One is that by hearing these pastimes of the gopis, it removes all the lust within the heart. Right? Because the only way to remove this lust is through devotional service to Krishna, and especially effective is hearing the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. Right? But in other places it says that if one's contaminated by material lust, you shouldn't read these pastimes. Right? So how is this going to work? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So Therefore, then if you're means just like we with the material senses, body, mind, and words, we can't understand Krishna. So you have to please Krishna, but how do you please with the body, mind, and words? Right? So what's the connection between the two?
Attitude.
Attitude, right? And where do we get that attitude from?
Association
of Krishna and Vaishnavas, right? So by associating with the devotees, they show us the techniques by which we can please Krishna. So we've gotten, so that's the point, is Krishna will reciprocate how you deal, but how do we get that? We get that from the devotees. So that's very, very important.
And why is that you can only get by the mercy of your spiritual master, is that correct?
That's what it means by the Vaishnavas, because you have the Diksha Guru, the Siksha Guru, and in Siksha Gurus you have all the levels of the founder Acharya, you have the those who are on the platform of Sadgurus, you have the preachers, you have that whole range. So all the aspects of we will appreciate by respecting the instructions given by the Acharyas down through the devotees. Right? But for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So if our attitude is right, even though there may be lust in the heart, it won't affect then by reading. But if it's due to lust that we're reading, then you can't get any benefit, like the sahajas and this and that. But if it's lust is there, but you want to please Krishna by adjusting that so it goes away, then that will happen by following the footsteps of the acharyas, means with the right attitude, then we see that surrender, we appreciate that surrender mood of the gopis. That's then what we want. Is that something? There's a statement in the Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nirdadhati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam, Brahma Samhita 5:54. Everyone is bound by his fruit of activities, but the devotees, because they work completely for the satisfaction of the Lord, suffer no reactions. Similarly, the gopis' attitude towards Krishna, although seemingly lusty, should not be considered to be like the lusty desires of ordinary women. The reason is explained by Krishna himself. Activities and devotional service to Krishna are transcendental to any fruit of result. Because it's connected to him, there is no result on the fruit of platform. Because it's being done to please him, so where's the fruit of result? Right? The results may be there, but they're connected to Krishna. My dear gopis, Krishna continued, your desire to have me as your husband will be fulfilled because it is with this desire that you worship Goddess Katyayani. I promise you that during the next autumn season you shall be able to meet with me and you shall enjoy me as your husband. Right, so this is before, and then the next autumn this will come up. So that's why you were saying before, it's actually not in the particular order. Like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just that because there's some connection between one and the other, so therefore then he connects them together. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because it's about the mood, the flavor, the rasa. Mm-hmm. So it's not about chronological order. The modern, then it's always about chronological order, and then if there's some gap in the storyline, then we get upset and this and that. But the point is it's not about that. It's about what concludes the relationship, the aspect in relationship. Whatever's going on now, what concludes that flavor, right? Then it moves on to the next aspect of flavor. So that's where the logic is. Right? That has to be appreciated. If one can catch that, then it makes working in relationships so much easier. Because that's what's going on. It's going on from one thing to another. Does that make sense? Yes.
So according to this, the Brahma Vimohan Lila happens in between those two, isn't it?
In between which two?
The Katyayani Vrata and the Rasa dance.
No, it happens before. Because it said that already married gopis, like Radha and that, they were also invited. So Brahma Vimohan was before, when he was five. You know, between five, from five to six.
Because then we read that during that year, then Krishna married.
Yes, those ones, but these are the ones headed by Danya.
So it's a different
group. This is the younger group. Because their relationship with Krishna is always that they're younger. Technically, they're always unmarried. So their interaction with Krishna is more shy and this. They just sit and smile and like this. It's not activity-wise so interactive. So they're a different group of gopis.
So in this pastime when Krishna took their clothes, the other group didn't take part.
It's not saying that specifically, because it says the unmarried gopis. So therefore it would be any gopis who are not married. And then the acharyas are mentioning how Radha and the others are married.
Right.
But then it mentions that they invited them to come.
Yes.
So whether they came or not, that's another thing. So that's the whole point, is that these kind of details aren't as important, because this is a pastime that eternally goes on, so most likely all those options are there at different times in different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like saying, oh, but was it cooked with cumin or with, you know, with the cumin or the black cumin? You can do it either. So one time is this, but they give different flavors. So it's all happening. So in this way, then it's there. So in one sense, the more major aspect of dancing, where you would think it would be Radha and the others, and those who are married. So unless they got married between this point and there, because they mentioned that the Yogamaya arranges, that's fine as long as Krishna is actually the husband. And then if there's other husbands are there, then that's a good cover, you know, like a fruit shop, you know, that kind of thing. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami said, we'll see as we go through then when we get to the Rasa dance, then who's involved. If they're all three groups are involved. I know definitely two of the groups are involved, the older ones and the middle ones. But whether the younger ones are, but by this then you get the idea they're also involved. Okay. So then they get that. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the young girls, their desire now fulfilled, could bring themselves only with great difficulty to return to the village of Braja, meditating all the while upon his lotus feet. Verses 29-38. Sri Krishna glorifies the trees of Braja. Sukadeva Goswami continued, sometime later, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, surrounded by his cowherd friends and accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan, herding the cows. Then the sun's heat became intense. Lord Krishna saw that the trees were acting as umbrellas by shading him, and thus he spoke as follows to his boyfriends. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, having described the mercy given to the young girls, now Sukadeva begins to speak of mercy given to the wives of the Brahmins, performing sacrifice, since there is similarity in the subject matter. The word Atta indicates the beginning of another pastime. It was summer, whereas the Katyayani Vrata was in the winter. Since the hot summer sun is later described, he was with Balaram, whereas on the day of stealing the gopis' garments, Balaram was not present. He was surrounded by his friends. This is mentioned here because the boys play an important role in the following pastime. So, it was mentioned he was surrounded by his friends with the stealing the clothes of the gopis, because then it was important because of the age of them, and that then they could be part of the whole pastime. Right? They would add something to it by coming and laughing, even though they don't know what anybody's laughing about, but they're just laughing because people are laughing, right? Then that adds to the flavor of the gopis that they're laughing, right? And then, you know, then they can say, well, hey, you know, send the clothes with these boys, right? Like that, you understand? So they play in a part. That's why it's mentioned. Otherwise, why mention it? Now, then this next pastime, then it mentions he's with his friends because it's important for the pastime. Lord Krishna said, O Stoka Krishna and Amshu, O Sridhama, Subala and Arjuna, O Vrishabha, Ojashvi, Deva Prashta, and Varutapa, just see these gigantic, fortunate trees. whose lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others. Even while tolerating the wind, rain, heat, and snow, they protect us from these elements. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, with the intention of showing that being born as a generous tree is a worthy birth for a gentleman, whereas being born as a miserly Brahmin is useless. Krishna began praising the trees, calling out to his friends. So you see, even this pastime, why it's connected here, because he's going to show this contrast. Right? These trees are so generous, though we generally would say that the trees are an impious birth, but we see how pious they are in that cultured attitude. Well, then the Brahmins, which is considered a pious birth, then because of their miserliness, then actually is it pious. Right? That doesn't mean everybody should try to become trees. That means one should give up miserliness and just surrender to Krishna. Okay. Krishna began praising the trees, calling out to his friends. Eight cowherd boys, beginning with Stoker Krishna, protected Krishna on the eight sides, and Devaprastha and Varutapa, carrying an umbrella and a broom, respectively, served as the upper and lower directions. Right, because you have 10 directions. Yeah, because then the umbrella is held above, the broom is you clean the ground. And then the others are in the eight directions. So this is where all these things come from. But in here, it's just some nice aspect of the pastime. Right? Because, someone is carrying an umbrella, someone will clean, if you go, you want to sit down someplace, there'll be things you can sweep, leaves and all that. And so that's there. But when you move, then you have the eight directions. So someone's in front, behind, on the two sides, but then there's gaps in next to each of those. So that way you get eight. So, yeah. The 11th person, Bhadrasena, the leader of the cowherd boys, paying attention to all the details, was situated at a distance. Krishna observed that the trees tolerated rain and other inconveniences, but sheltered others from rain and heat. So it went through difficulty, but it sheltered everybody else from them. So this is the glory of the trees. Krishna continued, just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, flowers, fruits, their shade, roots, bark, and wood, and also with their fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. It is the duty of every living entity to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. Srila Jiva Goswami. So when we say body, mind, and words, then we also include the wealth. Just in case someone saw a loophole. Footnote 7. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 35 to Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Kulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. Right, so then having that charitable mood to be able to take care of everyone else's benefit, but in connection with Krishna consciousness, that means you have to see it that way. So if all you can see is direct activities of devotional service, then that's what you give. And if you can see everything connected to Krishna, then you'll give them the direct activities of Krishna consciousness in connection with whatever situation the person feels more comfortable in. Right? So it's not about, it's a change, it's about how, it's extension. How much you understand. So When we say that welfare work means you're giving whatever can be understood. What you know is what you give. So how much is your realization? That's what you'll give. So then we're saying, oh, things were very rough before. Then it's a matter of, well, what was the realization? So how much they, and one can complain, but you see so many became devotees. It was pretty standard. Actually, every temple had to have a bhakti program. It was a big thing. I remember in our temple there would be times where you'd have to literally sleep on the stairs. It was an old house, so it had big landings and that. You slept on the landings because there was no place. The brahmachari ashram is full, and the temple room was full, you know, the hallways were full, so you slept on the stairs. You know, so that was reality. So one could say, you know, it was very rough, but because they were speaking from their realization, and their realization was that surrender to Krishna, that was all that was important. And so secondary details of seeing how to extend that into all the aspects of their life, you know, in a broader social sense, they didn't know, but that aspect that they knew, that conviction, then by speaking that, it got the results that others then could appreciate that and take it up. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, yeah. And then as one's realization increases, then one can extend that direct Krishna conscious understanding into the finer details of people's lives that generally is not easily appreciated in Krishna consciousness. And then you can widen the range. But to just shift it to that and leave the principle of that direct aspects of Krishna consciousness, then one has kind of missed the point. Why would one call it preaching? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
It is a nature of human being to present ourselves better than we are, actually.
Okay.
So, then we adjust the preaching a little bit.
But the point is that whatever is the reality, that's what level you can, that is the effect you have. So therefore, if you have a new bhakta that is talking all the nice philosophy, one, he remembered it, but so whatever his realization, he can get others to actually take up Krishna consciousness and be at his level of realization. So it does have effect, because Krishna consciousness is always of value, it's always something beneficial. So that's why it can't be what's left in the equation. Well, oh no, but you know, we should just, like what was the other day, that people should just like us, and if they like us, then they'll be favorable to Krishna consciousness. That's what you do when there's nothing else to do. You know, you're talking to the lady at the counter, you know, when they want to see your ticket, right? So you're pleasant and nice and this and that. You can't get right down to, you know, how you say, discussing Bhagavad Gita or something like that. So you're just pleasant like that. Then they'll like devotees. But when you can preach and you just make them so they like us, then that's... In other words, in ordinary dealings that may have that, but in aspects where we stand to be preaching, then why would we not? Is that...
So, actually, according to this description, it's cheating, because instead of putting Krishna in the center, we put ourselves in the center.
Yes. Because why is the consideration they want us to want them to like us? Because we want to be liked.
Yeah, we've got many likes.
Yeah. So we don't like the dislikes. Right? Like that. So that's just a thing. I think it was something I read about the other day. It's a whole movement. I never knew it existed. I came across it in one other article and referred to it, and so I looked it up. Called the hugging movement.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, so it started off with one person, and then they got a lot of trouble in the beginning, and then it slowly expanded, and now it's... So people just want to be appreciated, just, you know, be liked and all that, so therefore then it's yes, like that. But the point is if we are liked and not in connection with Krishna, then what are they liking? They're still not liking us. We say, no, but you know, everybody needs to be appreciated or liked, but who's that everybody? Who's the everybody? Yeah, but the me, who's the me? That's the point. Is it the conditioned nature? Is it the soul? So that's the point, is that if you can only do one or the other, take the soul. Because the conditioned nature is going to, it will remain, but you won't remain with it. In other words, the particular combination of the modes that have the particular conditioning you have, that's there eternally in the universal form and can be put into so many variations. But the point is it will remain there eternally with the universal form, but you will not be connected with it. So trying to please yourself there will be frustrating, because then that will change. So therefore, so the Vedic system is please the soul and please the through pleasing the conditioned nature. But it has to be about the soul, so that means to please the soul, it actually has to be about Krishna. So you have to get that connection all the way through. And that means then the situation, the mood, the words used, you know, how you'll create that situation, all that has to be considered altogether. But if we only consider the externals, then what's the whole point? Let us say, for example, just as one of our standard absurd examples. Now, if we're going to have, let's say for someone who appreciates kind of cultural things, would they have a problem with a Scottish, you know, bagpipe marching band coming and doing a program at the cultural center? Not at all. Now, when those, how you say, Scottish, you know, you would expect they'd be Scottish, okay? But when the Scottish guys show up, and if they were all wearing flip-flops, cargo, camouflage shorts, and funky singlet t-shirts, and playing their bagpipes, would you be satisfied? No, you want them in the kilts, the whole thing, like that. No? Yeah. So that's the whole, it all goes together, right? You expect it to go together. So that's the whole thing, is that when you have the Krishna consciousness and you want to express it, then it goes together with the natural forms through which to express it. So body, mind, and words, all these, so the consideration is just because they're the nice things through which to express it. But it has to be about the main thing. You know? Is that the, you know, and if they just came out and didn't bring the bagpipes and just say, you know, a funny thing happened to me on the way to it, you know, you wouldn't appreciate it, because one, you won't be able to understand a word they say. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Okay, so we'll end here on that note.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.